It's 12:30. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bossert, in for Craig Cohen. Illinois Public Media News that this hour, the national conversation about gun laws has taken a noticeably different tone following Friday's deadly mass shooting in Connecticut, where 26 people were killed, including 20 children. As Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers reports, there were renewed calls on tighter gun rules, but there are also concerns that future restrictions could infringe on constitutional rights.
Democratic U.S. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says he supports reasonable limitations on the types of firearms and ammunition magazines that can be bought and sold. And he says the national conversation about stemming gun violence must include hunters and sportsmen.
I know many of these people. They're my friends. They're my family members. They're good people. I mean, these are folks who are in much pain as I am over what happened in Connecticut. But they have to step up and join us in this conversation.
Durbin also wants to renew the federal ban on assault weapons, but Republican Congressman John Shimkus of Collinsville says while he appreciates efforts to curb gun violence, he has concerns about what that could mean.
I'm also a firm believer in the Constitution and the Second Amendment, and that will always be a challenge for those of us who believe that the constitutional protecting the right to keep and bear arms.
According to the Associated Press, a law enforcement official says some of the guns found at Sandy Hook Elementary School, where Friday's mass shooting occurred, may have belonged to the alleged shooter's family. If that's the case, Congressman Shimkus says making the process of obtaining a weapon more difficult wouldn't have prevented the incident. The first funerals for victims in the tragedy are planned this week. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
An advocate for gun rights, meanwhile, suggests more needs to be done with looking at the mental health of those who are allowed to access weapons, such as the shooter in the deadly shootings Friday in Connecticut. Illinois State Rifle Association President Richard Pearson says there are no longer enough facilities for dealing with such people or enough doctors, particularly in Illinois. Pearson says he's not in favor of banning high-powered assault weapons, saying they're needed for defense against similar ones.
Every time this happens, you know, the law-abiding citizen who wants to police firearms to defend themselves is supposed to give ground to the bad guy. My family and myself is just important to me as that bad guy is to him. So I want every means possible to defend myself.
Pearson says he's been attacked on multiple occasions and felt he needed the most high-powered weapon in those situations rather than a single-shot pistol. But he also says HIPAA laws, or those connected to the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, keep health professionals and even families from getting the right information on those who exhibit signs of mental illness. Pearson also suggests allowing security guards to carry guns in traditional gun-free zones, such as schools or movie theaters. But Jerry Belair with Stop Handgun Violence suggests comprehensive gun laws can be passed that can keep such weapons out of people's hands. He also suggests that a new concealed carry law in Illinois can be this restrictive. Both Pearson and Belair were guests on this morning's Focus program. Parents were sending their children off to school with a little more anxiety than normal around Illinois. The mass shooting in the Connecticut elementary school had Chicagoan Melissa Tucker worrying about safety as she dropped off her 9-year-old child at John Elementary this morning. Tucker says she thought about keeping her child home until she learned the school would be taking extra precautions to ensure all students entering and leaving the building were where they were supposed to be and safe. She says she plans to speak to school staff later today. Parent Melissa Ortega called "I love you" to her 8-year-old daughter as the girl ran into the elementary school schoolyard. Ortega says she grieved for the families in Connecticut. A judge with ties to former Mayor Richard Daley of Chicago has decided not to preside over the involuntary manslaughter case against Daley's nephew. Cook County Judge Arthur Hill announced in court today that he's recusing himself out of an abundance of caution. Hill was selected randomly last week as the trial judge in the case against Richard Vinicco, who recently was indicted in the death of David Koshman after a 2004 fight outside a Chicago tavern. After he was assigned, Hill said that Daley had appointed him to the board of the Chicago Transit Authority. Attorneys working for Special Prosecutor Dan Webb have asked that a judge from outside the county preside over the case, but the county's chief judge has not yet ruled on that recommendation. Illinois and local cities and towns are starting to cash in on new video gambling terminals. The Southern Illinoisan reports that the state took in nearly $1 million in additional income in November from more than 1,400 video terminals. More than $191,000 was distributed to towns and cities where the machines are located. Video gambling became legal in bars, clubs, and truck stops in October. November's totals are nearly three times the amount generated in October, when just 714 terminals were operating across the state, and more terminals are on the way. Early projections show Illinois could eventually see an estimated $375 million in annual income from the machines. Another filing period for the local spring elections started today in Illinois, and this year candidates will have some extra time to file their petitions at local government offices. As Illinois State Board of Elections Deputy General Counsel Ken Menzel explains, it's all because the traditional deadline for filing was what would have been at the end of regular business on Christmas Eve.
A lot of local government offices were otherwise scheduled to be closed on Christmas Eve, or they were only going to do a half day and at noon. And, you know, a lot of school districts and the like were in the position of having to pay double time or triple time to a staffer, so it was going to be costly and disruptive to the local governmental schedules.
A measure signed into law by Governor Pat Quinn last month moves the final day to submit candidate petitions from Monday, Christmas Eve, to Wednesday, the day after Christmas. Petitions being submitted during this period are for candidates in the April 9th local elections. These include independent and third-party candidates and candidates for school boards and other local boards. An earlier filing period was for city and township candidates who could eventually end up running in the February primary. Indiana's 11 members of the Electoral College have formally cast the state's presidential votes for Republican Mitt Romney. The Secretary of State's office says the electors made their votes official during a session at the Indiana State House today, the day Electoral College members were meeting across the country to confirm President Barack Obama's reelection win. Romney won handily in Indiana in November's election, putting Indiana back in the Republican column for 4 years after Obama became the first Democrat to carry the state since 1964. The 11 electors from Indiana represent the 9 congressional districts and 2 at-large electors. Illinois is setting records for its lack of snow, but that could change soon. Weather experts say there's a new record as of Sunday for the latest measurable snowfall in Chicago. The previous record was in 1965 when snow didn't fall until December 16th at O'Hare International Airport. That's the official weather site. The city also broke its record last week for most days between measurable snowfalls. Chicago still hasn't seen its first measurable snowfall this season. For the 112th year, volunteers have fanned out across North America for the annual Christmas bird count. The 23-day period began Friday and continues through January 5th. Herb Trix has more.
Starting last Friday and through January 5th, wildlife biologist Kelly McKay from Hampton, Illinois, is participating in the annual Christmas bird count every day in a different location. That's 23 days in a row, counting species and birds from central Iowa to Chicago and from northeast Iowa to Kentucky.
I usually average about 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night during the marathon. And why do it? Just there's no good reason. I mean, I absolutely am fanatical about Christmas counts. I love doing them.
McKay's first Christmas count was in 1980, and he's now reached 340 in all. Only two others have counted more times. He would have tallied more complete marathons, but bad weather and other problems got in the way, including 1 year when his house burned down. Each year, results from the U.S., Canada, and Latin America are sent to the Audubon Society so it can track long-term trends in numbers and habitats. I'm Herb Trix.
And looking at sports, Brandon Paul had 17 points last night in Illinois' defeat of Eastern Kentucky, 65-53. Illinois still ranked number 10, and they've improved to 12-0 in the season. Joseph Bertrand added 11 points for the Illini, who remain unbeaten. Coach John Gross matched the Illinois record for the best start by a first-year coach, set by Fletcher Lane. That was back in 1907. The Green Bay Packers clinched the NFC North title yesterday with a 21-13 win over the Chicago Bears. James Jones caught all 3 touchdown passes thrown by the Packers quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.